All right, fantastic. That took a little longer. I was a little nervous about that. Welcome, everyone, to LHON Live. I cannot believe it's September already. I'm not sure where the other months have gone, but time is flying by. My name is Jessica. I am one of the LHON co-hosts. We have Andy Marks and Maria Johnson. They say hello. And we're just really excited that you guys are here for the LHON Live call. It's a fantastic call. It's been so many, I think on year four for the LHON Live call being started. And, you know, it's just, I talk about it often, how it's just a fantastic support group, how it's great to be able to have something to look forward to once a month where everyone with LHON is able to talk to people and with people that totally get it. You know, I often say that LHON has no age. No matter what time you're affected or what year you're, how old you are, you're able to really connect with so many other people that helps LHON because you all are kind of, we're all going through the same thing. And we all kind of have the same troubles, but same also to be able to share successes and things like that, learn from each other. So, I absolutely love looking forward to this call every single month. And I learn something new every single month, which is always makes it super exciting to be able to hear everybody's stories and everyone kind of has a different tip or trick to be able to share. So without further ado, a couple things, just housekeeping. If you could try to keep your line muted, it's star 6 to mute yourself, star 7 to unmute yourself. Super exciting. I actually got that down 4 years later. So we'll try to keep the lines unmuted just so we can, towards the end, if you want to ask any questions, that would be perfect. But if it gets a little bit too noisy, we will mute all the lines. And just a couple housekeeping. If you are going to ask a question, it would be awesome if you could say your name, just so we know who we're talking to. And so the call is really just designed for support and kind of to share your experiences and things like that. It's really not a call that we want to talk about any clinical trials or things like that. We're definitely not the experts in that, so we can direct you to somebody that is an expert, but it's definitely just not the place for that for this phone call. So if you respect that, that would be great. But without further ado, I'd love to introduce to you our guest speaker for this month is Cindy. I could go on introducing Cindy for hours because I just have this awesome friendship with Cindy. Cindy is recently affected, but I'll actually let her share her story. Cindy?
Okay, thank you everybody for joining. I really appreciate the support. The beginning of my story starts back with not knowing about LHON at all at the time that our son was affected, and that was year 1999. He was 7 years old, and he was losing his eyesight, and he attended a Montessori school at the time, and so he had the same school teacher from first grade going into second grade. But the summer before second grade, we noticed his vision seemed like something was going on, and we had taken him to a doctor who said there's nothing wrong with his eyesight. And so we were, thinking possibly he needed some glasses, but we weren't sure what was going on. But the school year started, and the teacher confirmed there's definitely something going on. And so we pursued it, and everybody has heard the big, long stories of how difficult a diagnosis can be if you have no idea that you're dealing with LHON. So fast forward 5 or 6 months later, and we finally, get the DNA test back. But we had been very fortunate to come across a doctor here in Little Rock, Arkansas, who had studied under Dr. Nancy Newman. And so he knew to test for the DNA, and we got the result back. It's the 11778 is what is in our family. And so then at that point, we were faced with what to do about education and that sort of thing. And we knew at the Montessori school wasn't going to be the best place for him to receive the education that he needed in the area of learning how to do things with the visual impairment. And so we were trying to decide if going to public school or school for the blind would be a better choice. And so we did choose to go to the School for the Blind, and they were just wonderful and fantastic, and that was a perfect choice for our situation, and he learned a lot there. It was very small classrooms and that type of thing. And then we did eventually go to public school, say about, you know, fourth grade on, and didn't keep him in that sheltered environment for very long at all. And he just really adapted well and has grown up to be a productive member of society, and we're very proud of him. And he probably could go on and on about how proud we are of him, but let's see. Then fast forward to last year, November, I mean, just out of the blue, I had a little blurriness in one of my eyes and did not ever even imagine that my vision would be affected by LHON, but I went ahead and went to the doctor, and, you know, didn't take long at all to figure out that that is what I had going on as well. And so that's how my part started.
Yes, wow. So it was last November. So was it different? Like, obviously feeling or having your son be affected and just the different things. I remember you talking about once you were affected in November and just the different things that you were going through, you would talk about, you're like, oh, so that's why he did that, or were there some,
yes.
What were some of the cool things that you picked up on that you kind of learned from your son?
Yeah, I think as a parent, I tried every which way I could to imagine what he was dealing with the whole time that he was growing up, because, you know, as a parent, you want to try to help your kids in whatever they have. If, you know, if they have some kind of challenge they're dealing with, you want to be there for them and fix it if you can. And if you can't fix it, then at least, you know, do the best you can to help with it. And so I had tried every which way I could to imagine what he was dealing with. And now I can say for sure without a doubt that there's no way for somebody else to imagine what it's like to go through this until you have firsthand. But then as I have, I wish something would just pop into my head that's an example of what Jessica's asking, but it's like as I'm doing things now with this vision, the little light bulb will go off, and I'm noticing that all of a sudden I think, well, that's why Christian was always doing such and such. And for example, he figured out at some point when he, you know, had the cell phone or whatever and would take pictures of something that was way far out there and then hold it close to his face and look, and it was like we couldn't figure out why he was taking so many pictures, and then all of a sudden it clicked with us that, oh, something's so far out and you can't see it, then he's capturing it and he can put it as close to his eye as he needs to see it and things like that. And so then you know, it was already, there were so many seeds already in my head of how to figure out how to do things when I'm dealing with this myself, like just take a screenshot of something or take a picture of a recipe that I'm wanting to do, and then I can blow it up and take a look at it as I'm trying to cook or something like that. So I think it's been an interesting learning curve to have tried to think through things to understand what he's dealing with or help him figure out how to do things, but then just so many things that he figured out on his own that we've observed through the years. And then I think my husband Clark is really fantastic at problem solving and helping think through things and, you know, different ways of doing things, and just the whole idea of just, for example, sitting closer to the television. I mean, I'm so used to Christian sitting super close to the TV that as soon as my vision was affected enough that sitting on the couch and I'm not really seeing it that well anymore, we'll just sit up closer to the TV, and it's, you know, it just naturally a lot of things have just kind of fallen into place such as that.
What about cooking? You, I always pick Cindy's brain on what to cook next, and just trying to, as I'm finally exploring into cooking and trying to get better in the kitchen. Cindy, you're always cooking something really exciting, but another cool thing that Clark had did was the lights in your kitchen.
Yes, yes. The lighting in our kitchen was, I mean, we live in an older home, and I had never really stopped to think through that we didn't have that much light on the countertops. And so pretty early on, Clark just on his own thought through that if he installed some lighting underneath the countertop, and they're super bright, they're LED lights, and they just it makes such a huge difference. I can't imagine how we function without them, even with being able to see, but they make a really big difference. And I would say, as far as the whole picture on cooking, we had always had kind of a relationship of cooking our meals together, you know, that were for our dinners, and then we work together, and so we would take our leftovers with us to work. And I probably have always taken more of a lead of planning our meals and making the grocery list and doing the grocery shopping, and then when it comes time to cook, I am more the one who's going to take the lead on that meal, and Clark's there to help me. But the roles have reversed at this point, but it really seems like it keeps on working out very well. I still plan the meals and go to the grocery store and do the shopping and all of that, but he's taking more of a lead position on a lot of the meals that we're cooking, but it's working out just fine. The other thing that I just started to mention about, you know, taking lunches to work with us, we do work together. It's a small business. My mom started the business 48 years ago, and so I grew up in this business, and then Clark has worked there since 1989, and so we have the type of relationship where we're used to working together. And so it's a really nice situation for trying to figure out everything that I'm trying to figure out as far as vision, being in a situation where I'm in a family business and can kind of take my time on mastering my new skills that I'm needing to do. You know, it's more or less a situation where I'm not having to just overnight all of a sudden know how to do things. Like, I'm just pacing myself, and I'm trying to be gentle with myself and remember that when you have this many new things to figure out and learn, that if you can just kind of take your time and be patient and figure out one thing and then another, and the more you do things, the quicker you'll master those things. And so I just, that's my attitude on trying to figure all of this out.
That's perfect. Especially, you know, it takes so much time to be able to learn Zoom text and the whole adjusting period. I don't know if you ever, like, when does it become, like, something that someone masters? I'm affected, and, what, 6 years later, I feel like I still learn something new every day. So it's always a work in progress, which you're so optimistic about it. I wrote in my post how you're out-of-the-box creative, which I totally think is true, because between you and Clark always come up with something totally creative, like the lights and different things like that. But so you were first affected, and obviously you're trying to figure out how you're going to get around and how you're going to kind of take on this new vision. Can you share with people? I just, like, love that the rideshare program you made for yourself.
Oh, yeah. So because I pretty much can't stand rejection, and I feel like if I ask somebody for something and they can't, then I feel rejected. And so I thought, okay, what am I going to do about just initially? I was trying to think through the best way to handle transportation. Of course, I mean, I know people use Uber and city buses and that kind of thing, and that's fantastic. But I was picturing that I have such an incredible support system already sitting here in my small town that I've lived here my entire life, and I have so many friends. And I thought, well, I know people want to help, and it's just a matter of letting them know how they can help. And so my sister helped me find a website where people could sign up who were willing to help in some way. And the main thing that I wanted help with was transportation. And so all I had to do was go on the website and post if I had a care appointment or a doctor appointment or whatever it was that I needed a ride for, because so much of the time just going to work or running errands and that kind of thing, Clark and I go around together. And so there were so many things I didn't need to figure out transportation for, but I thought, okay, when it does come up that I need something, if I can just post it, then if somebody's available, then they can just volunteer. And that seems easier than, and then a lot of people have said, well, just call me when you need a ride. And I still could. There's certain people who have said, call me, and I probably would if I needed to. But there's also, the way it has evolved has been fantastic, because there's somebody who lives in my neighborhood and she wants to take me grocery shopping every week. And then there's somebody else who, the gal who cuts my hair, she just is willing to come by and pick me up on her way into work, and she makes me the first appointment of the day. And it's just one thing after another like that. And then recently there's been friends who just call up and they say, what do you have going on next week? I'm free such and such day, and let's run around and I'll take you wherever. And so the transportation thing has really just sort of worked itself out without me really having to do a whole lot of work. And it's been an incredible blessing because of the people who have reached out and decided that they want to help me in that way, or people who, I mean, we were friends or we were acquaintances or whatever, but this has actually deepened our friendship, because it's given us these, you know, little times where we're together and getting to visit and do something together. And it's just, I don't know, it's something really special that's come about.
Yeah, it's so cool. When you were telling me about it, gosh, way back in November, I was like, oh, my gosh, why didn't I think of that? Just because there is often so many people that do want to help, they just don't know how. And the sign-up thing is just makes it easier for people to offer that help. So definitely a cool option, especially if you're in a city or a town that doesn't have awesome transportation. You never know.
Yeah. And then the other thing talking about this that made me think about something else that I wanted to share was that I figured out early on that I was still typing. Like, I had never taken any kind of typing class, and so I was still typing where I looked a lot at the keyboard, and I was very quick and proficient at typing with looking at the keyboard. But as soon as I hit the point where I could not see the keyboard, I realized I needed to hurry up and do something about that quickly. And so I did apply for being a student at the Hadley Institute. And if anybody out there who has not used them for any kind of classes or whatever, I highly recommend it. Once I figured out the way it's set up as far as signing up for the class and the equipment that I needed and that sort of thing, it has been a great situation. And I'm taking the keyboarding class, and like, for example, today I needed to write up a newsletter that I was sending out for our business, and I sat there at the keyboard and just typed away. And I wouldn't say I'm fast, and I'm not perfect on the typing just yet, but I'm getting better all the time. And so I'm really excited about it, and I've gotten 4 lessons turned in, and they're all like either 100% or pretty close to it. And so I'm proud of myself, and it's fun to be taking this class.
So is it at your own pace, or do you have to go, like, do you have to log in with a class that, how does that work?
The way they are set up is, if you are, I think when you're younger, like a student age, the rules are a little bit different. But if you are an adult taking a class, you have the information is on one of those little pieces of equipment that goes into the thing that you get from the National Library Service for reading books. It's a textbook that comes
like
in that format.
Oh, like a talking book library?
Yes, and so I got the machine from the National Library where you can stick the textbook into that. And so you just listen to the lesson, and whatever they tell you to do, you do as far as the practice. And then the actual assignment, you type it all up, you email it into the teacher, and then she grades it. And then when she says that lesson's been graded, she gives you a date that the next one has to be turned in by. And it's a whole month, and so it really is plenty of time you know, you don't have to, like, work on it all day, every day in order to stay on track with their schedule. And so I have a whole month to finish all of the practice and the assignment for each of the lessons.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's plenty of time. So at least, like, especially working full time, you're still able to at least do that.
Yes, yes. And I'm looking forward to finishing this class and then seeing what other classes they offer because, I mean, why not? There's probably plenty of things that I could figure out to do better, but a lot of the stuff on the computer, I am using Zoom, and I'm winging it because I know how to do all of these things on the computer that I've been doing for years and years, but the Zoom, you're so close in on trying to find a file or trying to find the little button that says save or open or whatever, you know, navigating through doing things on the computer with everything looking at it that closely, there's a learning for that as well. I mean, you know, I'm trying to figure all that as well. And so but I figure if you don't try, then you're not going to get better. And so I just keep every day, whatever's the thing, the project or whatever in front of me, I'm just keeping on trying to get a little bit better at it.
That's a fantastic idea. I should actually look into enrolling. I know that there's a really good class on JAWS. So I've been actually, me and Josh have been fighting with Adobe, and so I actually looked, and the Hadley had a class on that, so I was actually looking into getting that.
On Adobe, and I use, mine is Zoom, not JAWS, and so Zoom works on, and my Adobe is not up to date. It's a very old version, but it works for, I create our mailing postcards and that kind of thing, and so I've still been able to do that with Zoom, and a tiny bit of help from people with full vision for double checking some things before I actually turn it in to the people to print it, but so far I've been fairly independent on Adobe with using Zoom.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, so I need to look into that.
And
maybe the Hadley School will be able to kind of put me in the right direction for, like, maybe I'm just missing out on some skills. I don't know.
Yeah, and that process for applying was, I don't remember, maybe it was about a 3 or 4 page form, and then one of the pages needed to be filled in by a medical professional to verify that, you know, that you're legally blind. And then once you're signed on as a student, then I think any of the classes that they offer are available to you.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that's great. That's really good to know.
Yeah.
What other cool things have you done around the house or anything like that you could share?
Oh, yeah. I did know about the services for the blind through Department of Human Services because of stuff that we did for Christian when he was little. And so I knew to contact them, and I wouldn't say that they are – really fast at responding, and so it did take a little bit of pursuing that situation and you know, follow-up calls and that kind of thing. But once they got me signed on as a client, they came through. They did a fantastic job of coming out and helping me think through some things to make life a little bit easier. They looked around at appliances and all of that sort of thing, and I talked through that I do like to cook, and they helped me with a talking measuring cup, which has been very helpful in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of the other things that they have helped me with, but they signed me up for the mobility training. And I went through all of that where walking downtown sidewalks and neighborhood areas and all kinds of different situations, and got my white cane for going through all of that. And, everything has been pretty smooth and easy on all of the helpful things that they provided and that sort of thing. And then just on my own, well beyond when they were here, I figured out that there were certain buttons on the microwave that I put the little little rubber knob on, you know, I can't think what you call it, like the little bump thing. And I put that on the microwave here, and it worked. And I can't think what other modifications we've done at home, but I think it's just been one of those real progressive, slow, organic, just figure it out as you go, because it's just really hard to know what you need all at once, and just, you know, day by day, whatever you figure out that is a thing that, oh, well, that would make life a little bit easier, and then just go ahead and figure that out. So,
yeah, totally.
And at this point,
what about,
I'm hoping that my...
Now, you're always... Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, oh, I was just saying, and of course, at this point, I'm hoping that the vision has progressed as far as it's going to, and, I mean, I guess that's one of the... When it's new, that's one of the unknowns, and so you have a bad day where you feel like that maybe you're tired and so you're not seeing as well, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, my vision's getting worse now, but then it seems like then it might be better again back and forth. And so I don't know if I'm finished with all of that back and forth just yet, but it is a little bit of a thing where I don't know what I was starting to say, but speaking of the things that you get that are modifications, one of the things that I didn't want to forget to say was that, like, when Christian was little and not knowing what things he needed and what things would be the most helpful, we went to these places like the Department of Human Services, and there was a place that was a doctor, you know, that had all of the low vision specialty items and all of that. Well, we got anything and everything that we noticed that might be something that could help him. And so we spent, you know, thousands of dollars on equipment and all of that. And then I would say within 2 or 3 years after that, we're starting to realize, oh, a lot of these things that we were thinking he needed, well, you know, you're just throwing stuff at the situation. So I took a completely different approach myself, and I've just decided, okay, if I realize I need something, then I'm going to get it and that kind of thing. And I had never heard of the thing called the Ruby, but it was talked about on one of the conference calls. And so I talked to somebody at DHS, and they said, oh, yeah, if we can get you one of those. And so, I mean, you know, it's just been one of those things where it's just, you know, step by step.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so much technology out there, and so much of it works and some of it doesn't work. It kind of depends on a person's vision and their lifestyle, really, you know?
Yep. But the iPhone has been fantastic, and, you know, like learning how to do Zoom on it and getting Siri to do things for me, and then also the voiceover I haven't completely tackled, but I'm inspired to figure it out more. When I was at the conference, I realized it's just as easy as telling Siri to turn it on and tell Siri to turn it back off, and I had been intimidated to even try to figure it out before that, and so now I can at least call up an email that I want the whole thing read to me. I turn it on, it reads it, I turn it back off, and eventually I'll probably figure out how to do more things with it, but I mean, like I said, I'm just kind of taking it little baby steps, and, you know, that's working for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hey, it works, and I always am raving about you and how optimistic you are, and just, I mean, your creativity has really just kind of made you take everything in, like, such graceful strides. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I appreciate
awesome.
That.
What about
it? Doesn't feel that way to me, but I appreciate hearing you say that. But, you know, because it doesn't, you know, day to day, it's there's a lot of difficulties and that sort of thing. But I mean, what else can you do but keep on trying each day?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I feel like something. It's so funny. Something comes up often. Every day. I thought I had my colors down. I thought I had my whole closet down. I thought everything was great. And I'm always like, I like to be put together. And then I wore a black and white striped skirt with a navy blue shirt yesterday. And I was like, what just so happened? So I was just slightly sad. And I was just like, oh, blind girl issues. And so everyone's like, oh, Jessica, it looks good. And I'm like, black and blue stripes do not match. So, hey, it just happens, you know? You just kind of take each thing as it comes.
Yeah, I wore two different earrings the other day, and you just kind of go, oh, well, I meant to do that, haha.
Yeah. We're starting new trends, like trying to break out the color with black and white, and I mean, maybe you want a different vibe when you look at different sides of your face or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
Do you have tips and tricks? You're always looking so put together. Do you have tips and tricks of, like, makeup or things like that? I feel like we talk about makeup often.
I did not ever stop putting on my makeup every day, and so I think it's just more of, I mean, I wouldn't say every day. Of course, if it's a day off and I don't feel like putting makeup on, I don't. But I'm just saying, you know, I've stayed in the habit, and so I've just, I don't know. I think it's just like everything else, that if you keep on doing everything like what you normally have done in the past, the best that you can, you're going to stay better at it. And if you stop doing certain things, then you're going to fall out of practice, and then it's going to be a lot harder to pick it back up. And so I'm trying to just keep on keeping on with that sort of thing. And then as far as the, you know, the hairdo and the makeup and the clothes and all of that, I mean, I don't know. And I feel very lucky to have Clark put his eye on the situation and say, yeah, you got it going on, and there we go.
That's perfect. Heck yeah. It's true, though. It's kind of like a muscle memory thing. You just kind of do, like, you do your hair sometimes. Most of the time, I highly notice other people look at their hair with every brush stroke. So you just kind of do it, and it just kind of becomes this kind of muscle memory thing, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I say I would imagine because it's come that to me. So I think it's like that with sighted people. You kind of forget that. It seems so long ago, but it just kind of comes with motion.
Yeah. And
wonderful.
As far as familiar situations and that sort of thing, like the house, of course, we've lived here 16 years, and so, you know, I'm real familiar with our neighborhood and our yard and all of that, and our business has been in the same location for 40 something years. And so, I mean, I was 10 years old when we moved into the place where our business is. And so that whole back parking lot and just that whole situation is very familiar. And so day to day, I'm just in a lot of, familiar situations, and, that helped make it work out really well.
What about when, now you and Clark are always doing something super fun. What about, like, when you guys are going to new places or with, like, a lot of people, do you guys, you and Clark kind of have, like, a, like, secret code, like, so-and-so to the left, or you have, like, a...
He's very helpful in situations like that. I was just talking about everything being familiar, but, yeah, I have pushed myself to be in a lot of new situations. I have met new people at parties, and we're on the go all the time. We go to a lot of events, and we host things in our business where we have a lot of people come in, and it's been a little bit tricky in certain situations where I have no idea who I'm talking to, and so I'm either just winging it and pretending like I know who they are, or if I get a heads up on who they are, then it makes it nice because then I can, you know, speak to them. But we've worked it out pretty well, and then I think on the last conference call stuff was coming up about, you know, the curb and whatever, and just, you know, you get a little routine down where you're in a situation and you're around people who, if you're in a situation where you don't know the people, of course neither one of us knows the people, but I've met new people, and then you're making a brand new impression. I mean, they're making a brand new impression on me, and I have no idea what they look like. And I think it has been very eye-opening, so to speak, to realize that what you're basing who that person is the content of the things that they're saying, and not so much based on what that person looks like. And that has been a really fantastic experience to meet somebody. You have no idea what they look like, and you're just hearing what they have to say, and they're so interesting and incredible, and it has nothing to do with what they look like. You're just you're just enjoying their company, and it's who they are on the inside, basically. So yeah.
No, it's just such, it's so cool. I feel like the topic comes up often, but there's a quote that I think Marie and I posted a few years back that says something along the lines like, we're not seeing faces, we're seeing people with, like, we're seeing their hearts instead of their faces. And it's true. Yeah. Like, you get to know the people for who they are and all that, and not what they look like or what they're wearing or who knows what. But there's sometimes all those stereotypes are built, and we get to miss all that, which is really kind of a gift for us that we get to see that side of people quickly.
I think you said it better than I did.
No, but it's really kind of a cool realization. But plus that was a quote that I just quoted from that I just probably like totally messed up. But it's a cool realization for sure.
Yeah. And other things that have come up that have been kind of something that probably wouldn't have happened otherwise, like just feeling like I have the freedom to do something, like I went to Fort Worth to my niece's baby shower recently, and whereas normally I'm just, you know, nose to the grindstone with running my business and work, and feeling like I've got a little bit of flexibility in my, and so my mom and I took off and went to this baby shower in Fort Worth, and that weekend we met somebody else who has LHON that worked out to meet her because she lives in Fort Worth, but the point of what I'm saying is that just to spend more time with family and things that my mom and I have done together since this has happened that we wouldn't normally, I mean, living in the same town and working in a business together, and then you think, well, we see each other plenty, but then now there's other things that come up, like going to the grocery store together or running an errand together, that type of thing, where it's just really special because it's like taking a thing that's happened in your life that may not be looked at as this thing that you want to have to deal with, but then there's certain aspects that are actually the incredible silver linings of the whole thing, and I'm trying really hard to just focus on those as much as I can, and there's so many, and it's amazing. It really is.
That's a really awesome silver lining, because you're right. Like, you kind of get to develop deeper relationships with people than you might have just not been, especially when they want to lend a hand to help in any way they can.
Yes.
That's cool.
And I've had friends who literally just reach out their hand and hold my hand, and we cross the street. And they're like, oh, you're ready to jaywalk? And I say, yeah. And we hold hands and we run across the street. You know, things like that I don't think that would have happened otherwise. And it's like, oh, I'm getting to hold hands with this friend that I love.
I love that.
Yeah.
A deeper bond for sure. Well, anything else you want to share before we open it up for anyone to have any questions or to share?
I think the only other thing that I was thinking about was that we have ended up doing a whole lot of traveling since this started, and like going through airports or car travel, either one, and just staying active and always having something fun to look forward to has been one of the ways that I've decided to cope with this. And I think when Christian was first affected and he was at the School for the Blind, there was a parent who spoke to me about raising a child who has something, you know, different going on, like a different way about them. And so he said, you know, but just don't treat him differently. Just treat him with the same expectations you would a kid who is fully sighted. And so I took that, you know, to heart, and we basically had very high expectations of him all the way through. And so then when this came up with myself, I thought, you know, I really need to think about this the same way as I did with him, as far as having high expectations of yourself, trying to put the frame it the very best way that you can, and keep the attitude upbeat as much as possible. And so I had the experience of trying to teach somebody else this way, and then I had the experience of using all of that on myself as well. And so it was like I had a practice, and then I've got to, you know, live it myself. And so it's been a very interesting situation, but that's the type of thing that happens in life. You don't know exactly how it's all going to work out, but it's just one of the things in life. And so and here I am.
And we're so glad to have you part of the family.
Yeah.
Well, your journey sounds adventurous and fun, but obviously tiresome. I mean, everything's going to be a little challenging every so often, but you guys definitely keep it fun, and you are so optimistic about it. I was so excited for you to share your story, just because I like get pumped up after talking to you, because you always have something fun to share, but I mean, and to also be able to share the same challenges with you as well. I mean, y'all on the phone call get it, totally. I'd love to be able to open it up to see if anybody has any questions. Cindy did go to a conference this past year, so she has a crazy awesome fan club that I know is on the line. So does anyone want to ask Cindy any questions?
Hey, Cindy, this is Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
It's amazing hearing your story. It's just, you know, because I've been there since almost day one, or at least back in the Yahoo days in 2008.
Yes.
And, you know, here's 10 years later. But, you know, it's amazing how life is, you know.
Yeah.
And hearing your story.
I meant to mention all of that the support that we found when Christian was little was the Yahoo email group, and Wayne was one of the people that we connected with way back then. And so, I mean, the support started on that small of a scale at that point, and you can see what it's grown into now. But appreciate friends like Wayne who we go all the way back with.
Yeah, so not to beat a dead horse, but that's my job. So what did you think of your first conference?
Oh my goodness. It was just incredible, because I don't think there was any way to imagine ahead of time a situation where all of a sudden you've got so many people around you who understand what you're going through, and that you can be comfortable and relax and relate. And it was fantastic, because I have been in so many situations since it started where I'm in a room full of people who don't have it at the forefront of their mind that I can't see them and they can see me. But then to be in the situation where, you know, there you are just talking to one person after another who got it. And I loved it. I will definitely be planning on coming back again and again, because it was and I want to stay longer the next time. We only came for one night this time, and I definitely want to spend more time.
Right.
I have a question. It's Susan from Ontario, Canada. Cindy, you mentioned something called a ruby. What is that?
Okay, it is like a portable CCTV. Are you familiar with the CCTV?
Yes, and I do have a portable one.
Okay, I guess that's probably just a brand name for this one that I got. I had started off with, I was provided a desk mount, you know, like a giant CCTV where the screen is large and it's got the camera, you know, coming over, and you can set something on a table below it. And then I had never heard of anything where it was the portable type. And so it has really changed my situation around the house, because as far as seeing our digital thermostat in the house and just you name it, one thing after another, I've just been using it all over the place, and I love it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. Do you use Beatrice?
What was that?
Like, I have something called Beechers. It's sort of like wearable binoculars for watching television.
No. Uh-uh. Yeah. No, I don't.
You can't wear them and walk at the same time, but they're good for watching television.
Well, that's great. I need to look into that.
Yeah.
And that starts with the letter B, like boy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Beechers. Yeah.
Thank you. I will check that out.
Okay.
I'm totally confident that Lisa has found the link for us, so definitely check out the Facebook page.
Okay.
There's a lot of links up there. This one's going up now.
And just for the future, there are different cool things that Cindy's mentioned, like bump dots and Hadley School for the Blind and different things like that that Cindy's mentioned. There's all links on Facebook. So if you want to go back and reference anything that Cindy had talked about, please check it out again.
The little rubber dots that we've been putting on stuff are the same little – they're called bump-ons, and it's just like what goes on the back of pictures, for instance.
Oh, like they're fuzzy?
They're rubber. It's like a little rubber dot, and we
like
put it on the back. We do picture framing, and so we put it on the back of the picture down at the bottom corner so that it doesn't slide around on the wall, you know, like it helps keep it kind of in place once it's hanging on the wall. And so we're just using those same little rubber dots on things like we have an appliance in our basement that's a dehumidifier, and the on-off button, we just, you know, stuck something right on there so I can just reach down and turn it on and off rather than having to kind of, it's one of those buttons that's just, you know, you have to feel for it to push in. And so we just put the little dot on it, and it works great.
And they come in
different
colors.
Oh, okay, so this is kind of
bump dot. It might be the same thing. I mean, the actual name, well, the ones we use are made by 3M, and they're actually called bump-ons. But,
okay.
Yeah, it's just a little clear silicone dot.
Scotch makes some, too, called Scotch bumpers.
Oh, hey, Angela.
Hey, Mark.
Everybody go get a drink of water or something?
Hey, Cindy, this is Lance in Indianapolis.
Hi, Lance.
I appreciate you sharing
my
story. It was just kind of refreshing. I don't have a question, but I just wanted to let you know I thought it was very refreshing to hear you talk about how this situation has kind of enabled you to reconnect with some family. And, you know, for me, it's enabled me to kind of pare away some of the things in my life that aren't so important. And I don't think we hear people talk enough about, you know, there are some advantages to this thing. It's kind of strange to say, oh, I went blind and, you know, there's some good stuff, you know, so it was just nice to hear you mention that because it's something I try to think about as often as I can.
Yes.
So I thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Good to hear you. I think with having a very small business that the mindset always in a business for it to be successful is to try to think through the way to spend whatever the situation is or to create that positive vibe or whatever, like that's just part of what we do in our business. And so I think it's real easy to take that idea into this that's happened to me personally and realize that, of course I could sit around and, say, you know, that this is a bad thing or, you know, focus on the negative or whatever. But that doesn't actually propel me into a better mindset, and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
make me any happier, and it doesn't create anything good. And so if I can focus on what's good in the situation, then you can build good on good a lot easier than good on bad. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is Helen, Cindy's mother. And another thing that Cindy does that I think is great, she has a very good sense of humor, and I wish you would tell the story about your dog and your son.
Oh. Okay. Recently, I got home from work, and often what would happen is our dogs go to work with us, and so they would come running into the house, and if Christian was here, he would immediately sit in the dining room floor and greet them, you know, thoroughly, you know, sitting in the floor, hello, hello. Well, I walk into the house, and walking over towards the dining room part of the floor where this would normally be taking place, and I'm asking Christian all about his day, and then Clark says, you're talking to an open umbrella. And so as soon as I looked a little closer and realized it was an umbrella, then we got a big laugh out of it.
Cindy, tell about your book.
Tell about what?
Your books and reading. Tell about reading.
Oh, well, yeah, I've been, I think a lot of people have figured out the audio books, but I've been reading a lot of books lately, and I don't think I had read very many books. I mean, like when I was younger, I read a lot, and then as I've gotten older, I kind of had slowed down on the whole reading books. And then so with the audio availability, I bet I've read, I don't know, probably around March, close to 20 books, and it's like I can't get enough of it. I'm loving the reading.
Jenny, do you use the Victor Stream Reader?
I use the, it's through the National Service of the Blind, the app is called Bard.
Bard, yeah, and you download them to what device do you use to download them?
On my cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Cindy,
hey, Cindy.
Never mind. Sorry, go ahead. No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Cindy, can I jump in really quick and ask anyone that's kind of snacking? I think I can hear him snacking. If you could just put yourself on mute, that would be awesome.
Hi, Cindy. This is Ida from Canada.
Hi.
I love your story, and you're so inspiring, and it's great to listen to you. I do have one question. What is your son doing now?
In the beginning,
that you were really proud of him and what
yes,
he's accomplished.
Yes.
And
yeah,
do you
yes.
want to tell
Thank
us a little bit
asking.
More?
Yes, I love talking about my son. So since high school, he did a little bit of more education, but then realized that going to college wasn't really, I mean, as far as what type of job he wanted, it wasn't necessary. And so, you know, he wasn't so much interested in pursuing that. But
right.
he has done some incredible volunteer work where he travels all over the country in a van explaining to people about a war that was going on in Africa. And he lived a year in Hollywood, California, working with the homeless population. And he lived a year in New York City working with people who had still he's a disaster assistant with Hurricane Sandy. And so then he came back to Arkansas a couple of years ago, and he worked at Starbucks and he worked at a brewery. But then now, very recently, he has a full-time job working at a distillery. So he's a bartender, and he gives the tours of the distillery, and he's got his first apartment and living on his own, and he gets around really well. He uses the city bus for transportation and Uber, and he's very outgoing, and most people that are meeting him and don't know that he has any kind of vision loss really can't tell, and he hides it very well, and he functions extremely well, and he's well-rounded and loves sports and sporting events and all kinds of stuff, and he's a lot of fun to be around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds very exciting for him and for you to know that he's doing so well. That's great. Did he start using a white cane when he was a young child, and does he use one now, or does he have a service dog?
No, he actually, I think maybe because he was as young as he was, he was able to figure out to use his periphery very well. I think that's part of why he gets around as well as he does, is because he was such a young age that he is able to, I guess he has a lot of periphery vision that he still is able to use very well. And so his is more of a central vision loss. And whereas with me, I mean, I don't quite understand what his vision looks like, and he can't explain it because he was so young that he doesn't remember anything about being fully sighted. And for me, this is more of a all over, everything I'm looking at is blurry. And so I guess it's a difference in age, but no, he's never needed any assistance with getting around mobility-wise.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. So he's stabilized quite early then.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good.
Because he was just 7.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Cindy, this is Lisa from Canada.
Hi.
I had the opportunity to first speak to you via the telephone when you were first diagnosed.
Yes.
And I have to say it was a pleasure to meet you and your family at the conference, of course. But your positivity has grown so much from the first time you and I spoke on the phone. It's unbelievable. And I think it is absolutely amazing that you're learning the keyboard. You should be extremely proud of yourself. And I just want to say you're going in the right direction with the right attitude, and everything you said is 100% accurate. So I wish you all the best, and I'm here anytime again.
Thank you so much.
Anyone else? Well, it's exactly 6 o'clock, so I actually will take this moment to thank Cindy and your whole family for being on the call, and thank you for being such a fantastic guest speaker for us and sharing your story and your family's entire adventure. So thank you for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We love having you. And anything fun that Cindy had mentioned of things that have helped her along her way, the bump dots and having school and different things like that. There's a couple other links that I just saw that Lisa had posted. So if you do want to kind of reference that again, check out the Facebook post, as all that information is back up online. So if you guys want that as a reference. But Cindy, thank you so much for being here. I will stop the recording, but I do want to encourage everyone to kind of stay on. And if you have any first-time visitors or anybody else that would like to share their story, we'd love to hear it. So give me 2 seconds. I'm going to stop this recording.
Jessica, yep. Maybe say when the next call is.
Oh, that's such a good idea. This is what I always have all my other hosts for.
Yeah, I know.
Our next call is October.
October 3rd.
See, that's why we have Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. October
3rd. You're welcome.
And I can't even tell you. I think that's actually Andy is our guest speaker, or as our host. So definitely keep that on your calendars. But, yeah, October 3rd, please come back and join us. Thank you very much, Lisa.
No problem.
All right, hang tight. 2 seconds.
Thank you. Please stand by.